In the name of Jesus, amen. Our text is the lesson just read with focus on this verse. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and by his wounds we are healed. What a treat it is to welcome you to this symposium, a record attendance in recent years, and a delight to see so many alumni and friends of the seminary. If I could, I wish that I could have you each in my living room and office to extend hospitality. And if I could do that, you might be impressed. In fact, you might even think that I've got deep pockets. Why might you think that? Well, because I'm blessed with some very interesting icons and art pieces. And as I say that, I need to be transparent. Because if you lingered and looked a little closer at these beautiful pieces, you'd see little tags with words like this, museum replica, certified replica, genuine duplicate, or my favorite is an authentic copy. This gives me great comfort. You know, my imitation art isn't your phony false stuff. It's authentic and genuine. Our text for this day, I would offer, is the apex of authenticity in theology. It's the real and genuine heart, for it describes the core of our Christology, the vicarious atonement. Isaiah so beautifully makes this point in the Hebrew with the alteration of the first common pronouns and suffixes with the third person pronouns and suffixes. He, our, him, us, his, we. This is reality, the reality of God's love for us in the flesh of his Son. No theory, no abstraction. Here is flesh and blood poured out for you and for me, all that the Father might absolve us and cleanse us, and that we might live in God. Note how the text simply describes it. It does it independent of your will and consent. He simply takes the judgment, the punishment for all of our transgressions into his holy body. This is a revelation of the Father's heart. The Father longs for us. He wants us, so much so that he sacrifices his very Son all for us. And that is to be the very best, the very core of any theologian, pastor, or Christian. Over the years, I have noticed how many famous theologians run from this text. They can't embrace it. And I've puzzled over why. Why would theologians resist and refuse such a beautiful portrait of Christ's saving work? Down deep, I believe that the real reason is that the vicarious atonement is simply gift. It doesn't leave any room for our improvement, for our enhancement, for all the flights of our intellect and our imagination fall to the ground before its beauty. The vicarious atonement is God telling us how things really are. It is God's reality for us. And we can only behold and receive it. We cannot add to it. We cannot duplicate it, replicate it, or imitate it. No theology can stand up to its beauty, brightness, and truthfulness. Isaiah, in wonderful detail, is proclaiming what John the Baptist said, "Behold the Lamb of God who is presently bearing the sins of the world." God gives us his Son in the flesh to be the Lamb of God. If one receives this gift by the power of the Holy Spirit, we know what is true, authentic, and real. If this gift is rejected, then our theologies, however much they might use Christian vocabulary, are simply phony and false, unable to restore and to redeem us. His righteousness for our sinfulness, his innocence for our guilt, his holiness for our wickedness. It does not get better than that. The real and authentic atonement of Christ for us and for the whole world is a blessed exchange, and it is true in every syllable, for it is rooted in God's incarnate Son. Yes, reality is more wonderful than all of our theologizing could have imagined. Reality is Christ in the flesh, in Mary's womb, at the Jordan, on the cross, at the Father's right hand. Yes, Isaiah describes it already. For the blood of Christ runs from Eve down through Abram's seed, Isaac's seed, Jacob's seed. It flows all the way to the cross, and from the cross to the font and to the altar, to you and to me. An artist who has caught that truth, and I'd love to have an example of his work, is El Greco. In his portrait of the Nativity, angels hover above the Christ child with deep and ominous darkness surrounding the edges of the canvas. From the top of the canvas, a light descends from the angels and becomes even more brilliant as it centers on the infant, strikingly communicating that this child is the light shining in the darkness of this world. The artist's contrast is stark and riveting. And then, to the lower left of the canvas, there is, beside the Holy Family, at the edge of the stable, suffused with light, another figure, a small lamb with its legs bound, ready for sacrifice. Yes, in this Epiphany, we confess that the Christ child is the light of the world precisely because he is the Lamb of God. The babe and the bound lamb of that portrait are one in Christ. So rejoice, good theologians. Reality could not be better than it is for you or for me, for we are Christ's. Rejoice as we now sing this reality, Paschal Lamb by God appointed, all our sins on thee were laid, by Almighty God anointed, thou hast full atonement made. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.